For about a year, maybe a year and a half now, we've been following a story not only here on Robin Hood Radio, but the Republican American and also the Lakeville Journal, Millerton News, concerning Nuvance's transformation plans at Sharon Hospital. They've raised concern ever since they were announced, first with the birthing center and then with emergency room activity. And we've had several doctors come out and talk about it, quite frankly. And one of the first was Dr. Kirsch, who's with us today here on Robin Hood Radio. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
So we've spoken to three other doctors. All raise concerns about this plan. Of course, we've also had dialogue with Nuvance, not with people from Nuvance, but the different heads of Sharon Hospital. And there appears to be two ships that are heading in absolute opposite directions. First, Dr. Kirsch, what are your main concerns about this transformational plan?
Well, to me, Sharon Hospital should be providing for the needs of all the community, men and women, young, old, white, black, whatever. And you should not be truncating services that that are essential for the community. And I think that's what they're doing.
Now, what's interesting about what I see about this is over the past year and a half, I've had a certain disorder that's been being diagnosed and I've had to use the hospital emergency room a couple of times. And I've also had some tests that have to be performed that for some reason or other couldn't be performed at the hospital that day, which upset my doctor, when you talk about what the hospital plan is, most people look at this plan as the money figures as something that's totally erroneous. What do you think about Nuvance's response that they can handle all the problems, potential problems that would come up if they closed the birthing center?
Well, that's totally untrue. I mean, if a delivery is perfectly simple, no complications for the mother or child, that's true. But unfortunately, there's a percentage that's not the case. The mother is had a C-section, they have a C-section if they go into labor, and they have some hemorrhaging. The baby's in infant distress, and you can't wait an hour to go someplace. And in that hour's period of time, the infant could suffer brain damage or some other irreversible injury. So we don't have that luxury. We're not 10 minutes from someplace or 15 minutes from someplace. We're too far away to handle those infrequent but serious complications.
Let's, from your lips to our ears, explain what delivery services, maternity services were available and were at Sharon Hospital at its peak, and what they're proposing, what the big differences are.
We've had an outstanding obstetrics unit and delivery services, and they handle all complications, all deliveries. And if something wasn't perfect, they could easily stabilize the patient and transfer them to usually Hartford, which is rarely needed for the mother, but occasionally for the infant. And unfortunately, you might not have a gynecologist or obstetrician here to handle those issues. And you won't, because eventually what's going to happen is the gynecologist is going to leave. They're going to deliver babies elsewhere, and women aren't going to have access to that expertise. It's a shame.
Does it affect the general emergency room as well, with staffing at the hospital, the different changes?
Well, the Nuvance administration is going to try to give in services and instruct the ER doctors and nursing and so forth, respiratory therapy people, to handle deliveries. But unfortunately, you know, if they're complicated, they're not going to be able to do it. It's just they won't have the expertise to detect the abnormalities, and before you know it, they'll be in over their head. And oftentimes, we get babies here that should be transferred, but because of weather or other reasons, not going to be transferred here. The mother be in the middle of her delivery when she arrives at the ER. And after that starts, you can't really transfer them. You have to proceed with the delivery here. And then they won't have the expertise to handle those problems. I would not that want to happen to my wife if she was going to labor without an obstetrician nearby. It would be terrible.
Now, it's also been pointed out to me, and you can let me know if this is true or not, because I'm not a medical person, but that part of the plans that Nuvance said that they have to handle that was they were going to train people a 30-day training period to handle problems like that. Does that sound rather quick to you?
That's fallacious. A gynecologist goes to school for 4 years of residency in order to get those, able to handle those complications and the ramifications of a delivery. How you can do it in a few days, a few hours, is impossible. That's just pie in the sky, fallacious, and that shows you how irresponsible they are.
Now, have you written this up, and are you going to be speaking and submitting testimony at the hearings coming up with the state?
Yes, I have. My testimony doesn't pretty much focus on deliveries, though. That's Dr. Mortman and other people can do that. I'm more worried about the services that are offered at the hospital, ICU, primary care that's needed in the area. That's more my focus.
You know, and those are two big things. I mean, when you talk primary care, I'm sitting here now, and it's hard to believe I say this, but I'm 69 years old, and I never thought I would be in a position in Sharon, Connecticut, saying, please, to my doctor, don't retire, because who am I going to go to if you retire? I mean, we don't have enough primary care physicians.
That's right. I'm past retirement age as well, but I'm devoted to my patients. What's going to happen to them if I retire? And people say, don't leave before I die. That's a sad thing to say on the community if they have no other acceptable physicians to see. You know, in the 5 years or 6 years that New Vance and before them HealthQuest have been here, five or six doctors, primary care doctors, have come and gone. They come here for a year or two and then they leave because I don't think a lot of them are treated properly. New Vance can be ruthless and not look at the concern of the doctors and the doctor-patient relationship that sometimes can take more time than they're allowed. I'm in solo practice where I can spend as many minutes or as much time as I want with my patients. But, I don't have a quota. I don't have any people looking over my shoulder saying, do this, do this, do that. I don't have to be chained to a computer to fill in all these extra blanks that they're having to fill into, you know, fill up. And I just think primary care doctors here haven't been treated well. And that's why there's a lack of primary care doctors. And the doctors that are still doing primary care are getting kind of old. I'm the oldest one, but a lot of the other guys are in their 60s and high 50s. And how much longer are they going to go, you know?
When you're speaking with Dr. David Kirsch, he is giving us his interpretations of questions we have about the transformation plan at Sharon Hospital. And when you do mention the emergency room, that is something that concerns, I think, everybody, because especially out here in a rural area, basically the emergency room is a lot of people's first entrance and only entrance to the hospital.
Right. And you need to have a good emergency room staff. And I think most of the doctors and nurse practitioners that are there do a very good job. I think sometimes they're kind of thin and overworked. You have 10, 12 people in there with only one or two primary care or doctors there taking care of them. And it's kind of hard, but they do a reasonable job, I think. I'm overall pleased with them.
And what's the big difference is what they want to do with intensive care in their plan?
Okay, let me give an example. Somebody came in with an overdose, had to be intubated. That means put a tube in their throat, placed on a machine, a respirator, to be kept alive until they came out of the overdose. The administration here wanted to transfer that patient to another hospital because they didn't have the staffing at the time to take care of that patient, they allege. And what happened, though, no other hospital is available that would take that patient. So that patient had to stay here overnight until they could be extubated the next day. Now, what are you going to do if we don't have that expertise here that an ICU would require? You know, you have to have an ICU to require to treat people properly on a respirator. The same thing occurs for people that come in shock. When their blood pressure is very low, they're obtunded, they're not making urine. You have to have expertise to handle those patients because sometimes they can't be transferred. Furthermore, a lot of people want to stay in their community. They don't want to have to go to Hartford or Poughkeepsie or Danbury. They want to stay here. And we've been able to handle those patients now. If you don't have an ICU, you're not going to be able to handle those sicker patients, and they're going to have to be transferred out, or else they might even die in the process, waiting or going. Also, an important thing, I think, is that nursing expertise. A nurse in the ICU has a much higher level of training to handle these complicated, sicker patients. And at one point we had, last year, before they announced all these changes, we had like 11 ICU nurses on staff. When they announced these changes, five of them left. for other positions because they're afraid they're going to lose their job in the ICU. This is kind of up in the air at the time. And so you're down to seven. And there were times when the ICU had to be closed because they didn't have enough nursing staff to run the ICU. Other times they had to reduce the number of beds. So you're not going to have enough nurses to take care of these sick patients. They talk about attaching the ICU patients to the second floor where the medical surgical unit is, but you're not going to have the nursing staff take care of these patients. So that's fallacious as well. That's as fallacious as trying to deliver babies in the emergency room. You have to have an expertise in the facilities to take care of people with their problems or higher acuity in the hospital to be really a good local hospital. And it won't happen if they lose the ICU.
So now what is the answer? I mean, when Nuvance took over, I think they gave a 5-year guarantee that right. They wouldn't change things. Of course, 2.5 years into it, they made changes. Save the Sharon Hospital and other doctors that I've spoken to have said that the most important thing is to stop what's going on right now and use the next 2.5 years to come up with a plan that keeps all these services going at the hospital and keeps the hospital going. Do you think that's something that can be reached, or you think that the corporate headquarters, Nuvance, might just doesn't understand?
Right now, they've been very thick-headed about it. The medical staff knew almost 2 years ago that they were going to make these transformational plans. Leaders of the medical staff tried to approach Nuvance's administration to change some of these plans. We were rebuffed. We spent months dealing with them, and they didn't make any significant change. And so I think that they're just so pig-headed about it that they don't care about anybody else. They're just worried about their bottom line. And if they can save some money at Sharon Hospital in order to support their salaries and the monstrosity they built in Poughkeepsie, they don't care that much about us. They'll just have a token presence here. And if what happens here is what happens, they're not concerned. I would hope that if they lose this, which I think they're going to lose this appeal to the state, and then Sharon Hospital is going to prevail. I think maybe they will come to the table and it gets the stakeholders in the community, the nursing homes, the community residents, the doctors that are really living here and concerned about our patients, and come up with a solution, because I think it's surmountable. I mean, we had a hospital here for 112 years. Why all of a sudden is Nuvance trying to scuttle the ship here? You know, it's just disgusting. And it can be saved various ways. Do we need a different owner of the hospital? Should it go private again? Do we get some state assistance? A lot of other states in the country have faced the same problem with rural hospitals, and they've found solutions. So I think it has to be addressed locally with everybody involved, not just people in their offices moving dominoes around and trying to decide how to save a few million dollars. It's just disgusting.
Well, you've been involved since the beginning. We remind people that there's community events that go on that are being put on by Save Sharon Hospital, the next one coming up next week will be in Kent, but they also are going to have a rally on the Sharon Green on October 16th. And I think this is one time, Dr. Kirsch, where if people really want to get involved, at least show the numbers at the rally, because I think I'm very proud of the politicians that represented us, their representatives in the area. They've all stepped forward and come out against this plan. And I think people have to really also do their part and step forward.
Yeah, there's a meeting in Millerton this Wednesday at 6 o'clock at the library. The one in the Kent is at the St. Andrew's Church next Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. And the rally, as you know, is on the 16th at 2 o'clock in the town of Sharon Green. So I'd like to see hundreds of people there. We had about 250 or 300 last October with the rally. So hopefully if the weather is conducive, we'll exceed that number. You know, but I mean, the community is clearly in favor of maintaining services here. I haven't heard of anybody in my practice saying that they shouldn't have an ICU here, they shouldn't have maternity. So I think it's everybody that lives here wants that those services maintained.
Well, I want to thank you because you've been at the forefront of bringing this out to the public right since the beginning. There's been other doctors that have written letters and gotten involved. My doctor, Dr. Parker, of course, and even I just spoke to a doctor, a pediatrician just yesterday. And hopefully you all, along with the state, can put enough pressure so we can keep Sharon Hospital the way it is.
Do you realize that most of the doctors and the staff are employed by the hospital? And they, in their contracts, are muzzled. They're not allowed to speak out. So there are only a very small percentage of us that are allowed can do that because we're an independent practice and have enough courage to do so. So you probably also know, you've been told that we had a meeting on the 29th of September after the new transformation plan was announced. And the doctors in that meeting voted 25-1 against it. That vote was done in privacy. They could not get away with that now without losing their job, possibly losing their job or having other ramifications. So I think the sentiment on the staff and the community is overwhelmingly in favor of maintaining these services. And I think in my mind, we can find a solution if people want to go to the table and work it out.
Well, doctor, thank you for taking a few minutes and joining us, taking time out of your busy day. I appreciate it.
Nice to talk to you again.
Take care.
Bye-bye.